John 1, verse 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light that gives him light into everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believe his name, who were born, not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or the will of the man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as one, as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Good on our Bible readers, huh? Let's give them a round of applause just to say thank you. As I was thinking about these Bible passages, I was thinking about what is it we want out of life? You know, this is a question that plagues most of us at some point in our lives. So when you're in year 9 or year 10, around this kind of time, or maybe about a month ago, you are faced with the question, what do you want out of life in the form of which VCE subjects are you supposed to choose? What do you want out of life? And then you finish year 12, and again, around this time or whenever it happens, you are faced with this question again. What do you want out of life? But this time, it comes in the form of, what university preferences should I put in? What course do I want to get into? And then when we finish our university course or our TAFE, you know, apprenticeships or whatever it might be, we finish that, again, we are faced with the same question. What is it we want out of life? This time it comes in the form of, what job should I apply for? And then if you have multiple offers, which one should I accept? What do we want out of life? Well, this is actually a question that goes down to our purpose as human beings. You know, maybe you do get your dream job out of study. And then for a good long while, perhaps even, you are enthralled. It's wonderful. You're happy with, you know, the challenges this gives you, and it gives you all kinds of sense of meaning and so on. And then after a while, the job starts to become, you know, a job, and it becomes hard work. And you sort of think, well, what's that all about? I thought this would make me happy. I thought this would give me everything I need. And then perhaps you find the perfect spouse. And you get married after a few years, and it's wonderful. But then even that joy fades a little while because, you know, once the endorphins go away, you realize that the answer sure ain't there either. You know, your spouse cannot provide you with everything that you need in life. And then kids come along, perhaps, and that's wonderful, and they give you great joy. But invariably, one day you get angry, or they get angry, and they tell you, I hate you. And you realize that being a parent isn't all it's cracked up to be. It's not all joy and Skittles and beer all the time. And we're left asking the same question again. What is it that I'm looking for in this life? What do I want to get out of it? Is this you? Like, have you felt this question burning in your soul at some point in life? You know, have you had this kind of wandering spirit in you that this gap in your personhood seeks to be fulfilled, and we fill it with all kinds of different things, looking for contentment and purpose in life? Well, our passage today in John chapter 1 that we read just before reflects on this. And in the few minutes that I have this morning, I really want to focus on just one aspect of this passage. You see, this passage is a kind of, I guess, a poetic prose. So it's almost a poem about creation. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's a kind of poetry here. We don't normally use that kind of language. And in this part of the book of John, it's structured, it's arranged in a particular type of poetry language that the scholars called a chiasm, and I've mentioned this before. Now, in ancient literature, chiasms were pretty common, and a chiasm is a way for the author to draw your attention to the central thought that he's trying to bring across. And this central thought is key to understanding what it is the author wants to say. It's kind of like the key that unlocks the whole passage. And the central thought in a chiasm is literally in the center of the structure. And so how a chiasm works is it would have an introductory thought and then a concluding thought at the end. And then they might have a second thought and a second thought at the end, you know, a second to last thought at the end. And the central thought is in the middle. So it's kind of a like a stepped way of structuring it. Now, this particular chiasm, the central thought in John chapter 1 is in verse 12. Those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That, my friends, is the purpose of human life. To be children of God. But the only way we can do that is through believing in Jesus. You see, this is such an important thought to John, who wrote this book, that he says that that's actually the whole point of his entire gospel, the entire book. It's a story that he tells from John chapter 1 right through to the very end. That is his single purpose with the whole book. He has one purpose in mind, and he says at the very end of the book, in chapter 20, verse 31, he says, "Why did I write this book? I wrote this so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and so that by believing, you may have life in his name." That is John's entire point for writing this. The whole reason he wrote his book is so that we might believe and therefore become children of God. You see, the reality is that you and I were created to be children of God. And this discontentment that we feel with life that crops up in all these different kinds of ways, this wandering spirit we feel inside us, is because we have been made to be children of God, but we don't live like that. And so we look to fill this space in our hearts with all kinds of other things that kind of numb us to this need to be a child of God, but does it covers it up, but it doesn't really fill that deep inward heart soul need. I've told this story before, but a few years ago I was at a hairdresser, and as one does, you start talking to the lady who cuts your hair. And we're starting to talk about our children and the craziness of the Christmas season. And as I was, as she was talking about this, she was telling me about her daughter and about how her daughter totally only cared about all the presents that she got at Christmas. Now, this daughter of hers was about 12 years old. And so perhaps for a 12-year-old kid, that is a perfectly logical thing to think about. Every year when Christmas rolls around, magical presents appear under the Christmas tree, and it's wonderful. And so this hairdresser was getting upset with her daughter because of the kind of blatant materialism, you know, that this kid was developing. This lady is not a bad mother. She doesn't want that for her child. She doesn't want her daughter growing up thinking that Christmas is all about presents, you know. And so I said, okay, well, if that's the case, well, then what is Christmas all about? And if Christmas is not about the presents, if it's not the reason for the season, then what is Christmas all about? And she couldn't give me an answer. She said, well, it's, you know, the reason, you know, and then kind of drifted off and changed the topic. So what is the reason for the season? It's clearly not the presents that appear under the Christmas tree. Is it perhaps, as our TV commercials led us to believe, it's about the family gatherings? You know, the wonderful time we get together and eat the delicious food, the delicious Christmas ham. Is that the reason for the season? You know, if we All of us can give reasons why we like Christmas, why it feels special. But if they don't involve Christ, Jesus coming, then they will fail to ultimately live up to our expectations. They won't fill this inward heart need. This lady at the hairdresser's knew that she was missing something, but she couldn't put her finger on it. She knew there was more to this, but she could not articulate it. Because the reality is that our Christmas presents will break. Our toys will be destroyed and damaged, and they will be useless. I remember one Christmas time, my family went to my uncle's house, and he had bought all of our children one of those little helicopter toys. You know, they're really quite awesome. They've got a little platform with a propeller, and you pull the string, and it flies off into the sky, and it's wonderful, you know. And as a little 10-year-old, or however old I was at the time, I thought these things were magic. They were great. But by the end of the night, the helicopter had been flown and crashed into the bushes so many times that it did not work anymore. It was then that I realized that, you know, air currents are a real thing. And as good and as fun as that toy was, it did not last even the night. Even if you have the highest quality, best present, it will only take you so far. It will not satisfy your deep longing for God to be His child. And even if you have the best materials and the greatest riches, you know, these things will eventually get old. The Bible talks about how moth and rust will destroy these things. Or your clothes will go out of fashion. Unless you wait 30 years and we're kind of back to where we were early 90s, eh? And our family gatherings, you know, if that's the reason for our season, they won't actually satisfy our deep need for deep community either. Because no matter how great your family may be, and I'm sure your families are all perfect, invariably, there's going to be some sort of spat or disagreement because we're human, right? Auntie such and so will say something inappropriate. You know the one. Your mom will nag you about your unruly hair. Your two uncles will end up arguing about who's the better photographer. Your cousins will end up sneaking away and go and play computer games without you. Not that I know about that. No matter how good your family is, they will disappoint you. And they won't satisfy that need you have in your heart. Because they cannot. And the food, as wonderful as it may be, is just food. And even if your Christmas lunch is the most wonderful, most wonderful meal on the block, you will have to eat again. Because even that cannot satisfy you, not at the deepest level and not eternally. And so no matter what your reason for the season is, if it's not Jesus, then Christmas will disappoint you. This morning we've spent some time singing songs of praise together about the King who came at Christmas time, about Jesus, you know, Emmanuel, God with us, who was born in a stable, who is this light of the world. But our text in John chapter 1 forces us to remember that the reason for the season is not the presents, it's not the Christmas parties, it's not spending time with family. The reason for the season is Jesus' incarnation, God coming to earth, so that those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Now, if that is where your satisfaction lies, if that's where your real family is, then you have the riches of heaven, because you have the King of heaven. All those deep longings that nag at your heart are finally satisfied because you have become a child of God. And so what do you need to do? You need to put your trust in Jesus. You need to trust that He came and didn't just stay a baby. He grew up and He lived a perfect life, the life that you and I could not live. That He took all our wrongdoing and our sin upon Himself on the cross, and then He died for our sins in our place. And that when we believe in him, he gives us that perfect life. He says, this is yours, this is my gift to you. And he takes our imperfect life, our stained and spotty and sinful life, he takes that upon himself and dies in our place. And that when we believe in him in this way, we actually become the children of God. We are adopted into his family. And God says, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, you are my child. You have every right to step into my throne room. The barrier that broke between us and God, or that existed between us and God, is broken down forever. And so as we spend the next couple of weeks running around, you know, preparing for all the Christmas things that need to invariably happen, doing the parties, visiting our friends, meeting with our family, going with the Sunday school kids for a barbecue this afternoon, that'd be wonderful. We cannot forget that. Because if that is not the central reason why we celebrate Christmas, Jesus came to earth to live perfect life and die in our place. If that is not the central reason, we have missed the point. So don't miss the point. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for all the wonder and greatness that Christmas season brings us. We thank you that this is a time that people in general are better as human beings, where we suspend our natural inclination to be wicked and selfish and mean, but actually we put these things aside for the sake of Christmas. But Lord, even as we reflected this morning, we know that this is not the be-all and end-all, and that our parties and presents and social gatherings and family gatherings and even the wonderful food we can eat during this time is not all there is. We know, Lord, that if you are not the reason for our season, then we have missed the point. And so we pray that you will always draw our eyes back to both the cradle and the cross, to see your life in its fullness, to understand why it is that you were born and why it is you live this perfect life for us. And then out of humble gratitude, to be able to live for you instead. Help us to keep Jesus central in our Christmas celebrations, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.